I tell you what, every time I hear that song, Tracy, My Town, it just brings chill bumps to me, because exactly what we do at First and Sold is we're here to push communities, push high school, push everything to bring everybody together to make an impact in a place that you call my home. So My Town's a perfect song for that.
100%. And I'll tell you what, we've done several of these podcasts, but this is probably the most comfortable that we're going to be doing a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, we, and for the listeners, I mean, we are kicked back in some leather chairs, got the logo on it. I mean, this is unbelievable. And today we have the honor of being in Athens, Alabama. We're on the campus of Athens High School, and we're getting to sit down and talk with head coach Cody Gross of the Athens Golden Eagles. Coach, welcome to the show.
Appreciate y'all having me, and that's exactly what I was thinking when that music was playing. Man, that's the perfect, perfect little intro into this thing, and hometown Friday night football.
Well, when I think of sitting down and three guys just talking football, I think of a couch and a couple of chairs. And man, you're right, Tracy. I mean, we are kicked back, dude, in a nice leather chair with the Athens logo on them. I mean, dude, this is uptown.
I'm trying not to go to sleep.
That's right. Coach, I'm super excited. You gave us a tour of the new facility that you've been working on here at Athens High School. Coach, tell us about it, man. This place is phenomenal.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, we are blessed with some really nice facilities. You know, you go to our stadium, it was built in 1975. Larry McCoy was the head coach here, and the city built the stadium. It wasn't the school system. It was people that made a donation and said, hey, we're going to invest. And they built an unbelievable stadium. I can't believe that thing was there in 1975. And then what they do, they immediately won a state championship. So they kind of christened it with a state title. And
the very year that it first opened.
Exactly.
Oh, that is
the year they won it. So then, you know, you can fast forward through the years. Coach McCoy left and wound up getting into college administration and different things. And go to 1987, he's on the Athens City School Board. He's president of the school board. This building we're in was built as the Athens Recreation Center that year. And Coach McCoy, being a board on the school board, friends with some city councilmen, they put in the writing that when this building became vacant, it would be property of the school system. So there was a old football coach looking ahead and saying, hey, that's a great spot. And for those who don't know, it's right behind our Jumbotron. So it's in the parking lot of our stadium. And I get chills every time I tell that story. The guy that helped spearhead the stadium being built had a hand in this building becoming football building so many years later. And Coach McCoy is still involved because he's a board member of our Feed the Eagle, our 501c3 that gives money to feed our football players twice a day. He's 86, 85 years old, and he's one of my best friends. He comes to practice every Wednesday. So you see the vision, you see the community, you know. So then we were able to get in this building, and I think we've got one of the better facilities you'll see in the state of Alabama. And I mean that including colleges, you know, not Alabama and Auburn, but I'll put it up with about anybody in the state.
Absolutely.
That, no doubt. And it is. It's a phenomenal setup, and he's just now getting started. There's a lot to be done, and it is an amazing facility. And you know, if you've got a player, a young player that's looking for somewhere he wants to be a part of, this is a great place to be a part of. Coach, you know, there's so many, and now there's listeners out there that's like, oh man, they're talking to Coach Cody Gross. There's so many stories that I know we're never going to have enough time today to get to all of them. But one thing,
I wish we did too.
But one thing I would like for you to talk about, because Cody Gross is pretty much a household name, and back in the early 90s, he was definitely a household name in throughout the country. Tell us a little bit about, after you graduated Lauderdale County High School, all the accolades there, you go to the University of North Alabama and three-peat national champions. Just tell us a little bit about that time at UNA.
Well, it was fun. I tell you that. You know, winning's fun. And I was around a lot of great players, a lot of great coaches, a lot of great people. And phenomenal time. We didn't even know how good we had it. You know, we had no idea exactly what we were accomplishing. But, you know, so many years later now, you look back and you see how good it was. But one of our coaches actually this past week told me, Coach, I didn't know you played quarterback and won national championships. And he said, I thought you got those coaching. I didn't know you did it playing. I didn't know you was like that. And I said, well, I wasn't like that. I was the quarterback, and we were really good on defense. And we had some really good running backs. And I did a pretty good job of handing it off and then watching our defense play. And this old adage of, I always tell our quarterbacks this, that quarterbacks are like coaches. You get too much credit when you win and too much blame when you lose, so you better win. And thankfully, I was a quarterback of a team that won a bunch of games. And people think I was pretty good. But it was we were surrounded by a bunch of great players. But, again, you go to Coach Wallace and Coach Slater and Coach Hyde and those guys and all those other assistants. Just unbelievable human beings. And you add that talent together. You know, and Coach Wallace always said there's three things that you win football games with. And he said the first one's talent. That's why we recruit. And obviously we had talent. You know, we had four guys drafted my senior year. We had more than Alabama and Auburn combined that year, which would be unheard of now. The second thing is you have sound coaching. And then today he said you don't have to be the smartest coaches, but you got to put your players in position to make plays, and you can't put them in bad positions. And we did have geniuses. So, I mean, they were that, but we had sound coaching. And the third thing besides talent and coaching, sound coaching, is intangibles. And those are things you can't put your finger on. That's player-to-coach relationship, player-to-player relationship, coach-to-coach relationship, your work ethic, your heart, your drive, all those things. And Coach Wallace always said that most people spend their time on the talent and the coaching, and they neglect the intangibles. And I'll get it backwards probably, but, you know, Coach Wallace, he worked for Coach Pat Dye. Coach Dye only worked for one man, and that was Bear Bryant. So I tell our coaches all the time that we're in that Bear Bryant tree and we're not too far off. It was Bear Bryant, Pat Dye, Bobby Wallace, me, and y'all. That's pretty close when you think about it. But he said, I don't remember which coach said which, Coach Bryant or Coach Dye, one called it class, the other called it character. And Coach Wallace used the word intangibles. But that's really what it boiled down to. But, no, I was there at a good time and at our reunion last year. Good thing is we've had two different 30-year reunions, and this year we're having our last 30-year reunion of the championship teams. Last year was in the back of the end zone of a UNA game, and I was talking to some of those guys. I said, you know, if NIL would have been around when we were playing, and I said, all you dudes would have been gone, and I'd have been stuck with guys like me trying to win some football games. You know, we'd probably gone 2-8. So, yeah, well, I was there at a great time.
Wow. Coach, what do you have a certain – as a player, you know, being in North Alabama, I mean, I can remember people driving to the campus of UNA to go watch you and your team win three national championships.
Not that old. He said he was a young kid. I'm like, dadgum, man.
I say young
kid. I have gotten old.
I was in high school.
Okay, thanks. Makes me feel better.
Was there a certain moment or a certain game, or shoot, you may have known younger than that you knew, okay, this will probably be my last ride throwing the rock, but you know what I do want to do? I want to put that headset on.
Well, I knew, I've always said, I remember being in the seventh grade and we had a career day at school, and I went as a teacher and a coach.
Hey. Yeah.
People are like, what are you doing? Like, nobody likes teachers, but that's what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be. You know, I went to Anderson Junior High School. It doesn't even exist anymore. It was a K-9, and I think the greatest school that ever existed. And
Running Rebels.
That's right. That's exactly right. Terry White was our basketball coach, and it was a great, great place. It's almost like a little private school. And so I didn't even play football. I played Little League football, but I didn't play football in eighth or ninth grade because we didn't have it. And but I remember, hey, I want to be a coach. I want to go to Lauderdale County High School because we fed – Anderson fed either Lexington or Lauderdale County, and I knew I was going to Lauderdale County, and I wanted to be a coach there, and I was going to coach football, basketball, and baseball, and be somebody's assistant, and eventually wind up being the head coach when they retired. And it didn't work out that way, but I knew I wanted to do that. I don't have a hobby. I can't do anything. Like, I can't fix anything. I don't anything at all. So ball's about all I can do. Yeah. And thankfully, I've been able to make a living doing it.
Yeah, and you've done an excellent job at it. Thank you. You're really good at what you do and very passionate about it, and you can see it every day in everything that you do.
Yeah, I think the key thing on that is consistency in what the coach, you know, he doesn't just talk about it, he does it. And just going on this tour of the facility, and I know, you know, Coach Gross a little better probably than most people because I grew up not very far from where he went to school. Remember him when he played football in high school? I used to work with a guy, I think he was a little bit older, Anthony Michael. He was a running back for you.
Yeah, we're number 18 at Lauderdale County.
He was tough now. He bragged on
you. He was.
I used to have some game film on you and him, and I just remember those days. But, Coach, when you talk about consistency and what you've been able to do here at Athens, and I know the ultimate goal would be bring home that blue map.
No doubt.
But with everything that you've got accomplished, how excited are you to the future with what you've got going on here?
Oh, I'm extremely excited. I mean, I'm really excited about our team, about our young men, about our coaching staff. You know, we're in the fastest, well, I think, I'm not sure what the stats are this year, but either the fastest growing city in the state or the second fastest growing city in the state, county as well. So lots of growth, a lot of things happening. Of course, Huntsville's there, and you know, you just got so much going on around. We've got a great town. We've still got the downtown square. You know, you got the Kitty Carnival that's been going since 1957 that opens up Thursday night. The cheapest tickets in the world, and everybody from all over comes. I see folks from the Shoals over here. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I came here when I was a kid. We still kind of have a slice of Americana here, I think. And it's not what it used to be. It's not going back to what it was. It's just growing exponentially. But still, we're trying to keep that hometown, as we mentioned, a great place to live. It's a great school system, and got unbelievable support as being able to get in this facility by people donating money, by our Feed the Eagle program where we feed our players twice a day, and that's all off of donations. And that's just people that see us working, see kids working, and wanting to invest in young people.
I mean, you talk about just the location of where Athens is at. You said it. I mean, you're right down the road from Huntsville, so if you have a job doing anything with the defense or the government or whatever, you're only an hour and a half away from Nashville, which is one of the biggest booming cities in America. I mean, you're right. Athens is sitting in a really great location. But what's cool is you do have the square. Y'all still do the Fiddler's Convention
here? Oh, yeah. It's a big deal.
I remember
Fiddler's Convention, big.
Yeah, I remember coming as a little boy to the Fiddler's Convention. So Athens has always had that small town feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I live in the perfect spot. I walk to work a lot of times. It takes me about 20 minutes to walk here. I can walk downtown in about 12 minutes. So we can walk down to Cream Delight in the summer and get ice cream. And my wife and I last year walked down to the Kitty Carnival and bought a funnel cake. So we can go with the grandkids or we can. But no, it is a wonderful, wonderful place with a lot of great people.
We never wanted to play Athens. I don't care what sport it was. You know, Athens always came to play, no matter what sport or what we were doing.
Well, that's the way we want it. You know, I don't know if we're always that way, but that's the way we want it.
Let me ask you this, Coach. You mentioned the growth, and there's so much industry in the Limestone and Madison areas. What does that mean for classification? We know we got that coming up next year. You got any concerns?
Not really. I mean, we may be 7A. I mean, it's not going to shock me if we are. You know, we're going to be close. And I think a lot of that depends on, obviously, some of the other 6As, also some of those 7As. But, you know, you've always got Austin and Florence are always on that bubble. And it looks like with the new school in Decatur that Austin probably, word I get, they may be heading 6A. Decatur may be heading 5A. You know, you never really know. Because of the growth here, East Limestone might be bumping to 6A from 5A. And for us, eventually the 7A is going to be the landing spot. Question really is it going to be this go-around or will it be the next?
Gotcha.
And either way, we're in a really, really tough 6A region.
Yeah, I was about to say.
6A, 7A, whatever.
Yeah, the 6A, where you're sitting right now, I mean, you basically – you'd probably agree with me, Coach. It's the SEC of high school football right now.
I think it is.
I mean, you just –
Muscle Shoals and Hartsville.
Muscle Shoals and Hartsville.
The last few years, Muscle Shoals and Hartsville have been the top two teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been sitting there at number three. And, you know, sometimes fighting for the third and fourth spot, you know, and but they've been the two that kind of been the class of this region. I don't like it, but that's fact. Yeah. That's where it's been, and that's where we've got to get to.
Yeah, and I could see it in his eyes. He don't like it.
I don't like it a bit.
and he makes a key point there that when you say that one and two spot, that's a major hurdle. If you can get that one or two spot and host a first-round playoff game, it means a lot than having to go on the road.
It's a big deal. We've been 8-3 the last two seasons. Lost to Muscle Shoals and Hartsell. Finished third in the region with 8-2 regular season. And then went to Oxford, had our chances, but didn't pull that one out. Went to Homewood, had our chances, didn't pull that one out. You know, you don't get there, you're going to Birmingham round one. And you got to go down and win. And we got to do that at some point. But hosting that first round would be nice.
You know, I believe that you've got a non-region schedule. Your 10th game of the year last several years, you and Russellville have played.
Correct.
Last game of the year. That's got to help both programs.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, that's one of our old rivals here. You know, Athens, any of it through the years. But there was that time where it was Russellville when Coach Swindle was there and they were making their, you know, we were all 5A and they were in the finals. What's the rival? Well, it depends on who you talk to. In what era? But Decatur's the big one. That's kind of the overarching one. And then there's a period of time where you talk to the people and it's Hartsell. Won it in 06. The year they went up. Athens won it.
Wow. That's awesome.
What are the Athens Eagles going to look like in 2025?
Still waiting to see. I'll say this. It's probably been the best offseason we've had. I don't know if it's the best since I've been here, but it's the best in a long time. We were able to hire Brian Puckett as our strength coach. Coach Puckett is a Lauderdale County graduate. I signed him when I was coaching at UNA. He's been at UNA as the head men's basketball strength coach. Georgia Southern, Murray State, he was the head men's basketball strength coach at LSU. Then he went to Nebraska as the assistant football strength coach. And he was doing that last season, and now he's our strength coach. So this is a guy that's coach millionaires and done all that, and he's very knowledgeable about the strength world. But the way I describe him is he knows all the nerdy stuff, because I think there's two worlds in strength. It's the new age, all the nerdy stuff, and it's the old meatheads, let's just throw some weight on the bar and grunt and get it up. And he knows all the nerdy stuff, and he's been at the highest level, but he played with his hand in the dirt in Rogersville. So, you know, you played in your hand, played tight end, defensive end at Lauderdale County High School, you're pretty tough. So you're able to combine those two, and we're pretty good. So our offseason's been really, really good. Had addition of some new coaches on the defensive side of the ball, along with Coach Puckett. We got Cy Ellis as our defensive coordinator, who's phenomenal. Lamont Crittenden, another phenomenal coach and human being, both of those guys. He's coaching our linebackers. Chase Croson was the co-defense coordinator at Sparkman, and he's coaching our defensive line. So those three guys adding to our staff on the defensive side of the ball are huge. And our offensive staff's intact for the fifth year in a row, so that continuity there helps. But I think the new blood on defense, and it's an energetic group, very fiery, very intelligent, but they care about kids. So fired up about that. Got a lot of guys coming back. We just got some key pieces that we got to replace.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Tracy, Coach Gross will agree with me. He mentioned a guy named by Lamont Crittenden. You want to talk about slinging some weight? That bull right there can throw a weight bar through that wall right there.
I think you probably can now. Yeah, you played at Austin and played at Murray State and coached at Austin. And last season, he was coaching at Central Phoenix City. That's right. So we're fortunate to get him up here. And it's pretty cool because he lights up every room he walks in.
He does.
Unbelievable personality. Great kid. Great young man. Cares about kids. And he's built like it's unbelievable what he looks like. But he convinced our kids when he came there, like, Coach Gray, what did you play? What position you play? So I played golf. I didn't even play football. I played golf. And some of them believed him. I'm thinking, man, how stupid are you? But no, we've had those coaches have been huge, huge additions for us.
I could imagine.
I mean, and talk about that's some unbelievable hires. Puckett's a home run, no doubt, for any program. And you talk about Cy Ellis. Hey, he's a Brooks graduate, so you're reaching over there in Lauderdale County and pull some of those players over here with you. But, Coach, let me ask you this. You talk about these people having an impact, and then you made the statement earlier about the intangibles, and a lot of coaches don't consider those as part of the game. But when you look at not just the X's and O's, but having an opportunity to make a lasting impact in these players' lives, where they come back to you in 5, 10, 20 years and say, Coach, man, appreciate you doing it. How important is that to you?
Oh, it's so big. It's so big. And now I'm coaching a kid here who I coached his daddy. His daddy was on the 06 state championship team when I was offensive coordinator. Coaching a ninth grader who I coached his mama and his daddy. Coached his mama in JV girls basketball and coached the daddy at college. So when you get to coaching players' kids, now again, you are old.
Yeah, you made that old statement.
That's one thing. But it's, when they come back and they show you, they introduce you to their wife and their kids and, hey, Coach, this is what I'm doing. I had two kids last year during our season who texted me, Coach, I'm proposing to my girlfriend today. I mean, I've never had that happen, but two out of the same class years ago from Athens texted me that. One of them was the Russellville game, and I said, well, I hope she says yes. That was my text to him. I got on the bus after the game, and he'd sent a picture of her, of him down on the knee. I said, well, what'd she say? But that is really, really cool. That's what it's about. I mean, football ends, and when it's all said and done, you're older, you're going to remember some games, and you're going to remember whatever. But the biggest thing is you're going to remember your teammates. You're going to remember your coaches. You're going to remember the times in the locker room, the times on the bus, times on a practice field. Those are the things, and it's just special. And unless you've done it, you don't get it.
Yeah, one of our catchphrases is hometown teams, hometown dreams. But what you just said is a true definition of hometown dreams, because it expands more than just the football field.
Absolutely.
It reaches across life. I mean, that those players texting you about proposing to their wife, I mean, that's the kind of impact that you can make on people's lives that lasts a lifetime, and it's well beyond the football field.
No doubt, and that's what you want, because, I was talking with a kid this morning about this. It's like, look, man, we start at 6:30 every day. You have a job where you may have to be there at 6 or 6:30 or 7, and you got to be on time. I think you still have to. I don't know, so many people work remote, and people don't care about time, and I don't know where this is heading, but I really think that being able to show up on time every day matters. I think that showing up every day matters. I don't care what you feel like. Like, you got a runny nose, nobody cares. Show up and go to work, and hopefully you learn that through this. And people are dependent on you. You got teammates who are dependent on you. One day it's going to be a wife and it's going to be kids. They're going to be dependent on you. And when things don't go your way, you can't just throw in the towel and get mad. Get mad at work. You can't go flying off the handle and quit, because now ain't nobody eating.
Yeah.
Amen. There's a way you handle it. Yeah. And sometimes I'm telling you, if you have a problem, come in here and shut the door and let's talk. And we can, ask me why we're doing something. Don't do it in front of the team. Don't do it in a smart-aleck way. But if you're wondering why we're doing something, come in here and let's shut the door and let's talk. If I can't tell you why we're doing it, probably don't need to be doing it. I mean, I've been called on some stuff, and I've had to swallow my pride and say, dang, that kid's right. But I'm able to do that. And that's how you handle it, I think, in a job. You don't like what's going on, you don't just quit. Go talk to your boss. Things don't work out right, be looking for another job while you're still doing your job full speed. But I think you learn so many lessons. And, our motto here is tough people win. We bring it on TPW all the time. It's tough people win. And I got that from my buddy Sam Graham, who's the toughest person I know. And when he said it to our team in 2016, he said, put it on the board. And he said, y'all know what that means? And nobody did. I didn't either. And he told us, he says, tough people win. It's not just in football. It's not just in the squat rack. But it's in math class. It's in your marriage. It's in everything that you do. It's going to be tough. And sometimes the scoreboard don't show it. But you just keep on and you keep on, and eventually tough people win. And that's what that's what we're trying to preach to them.
Wow.
I hope it's not empty words and words on a wall. We hope it's real, because it's easy to put stuff on a wall. It's easy to say it. But are you going to be it? Are you going to live it? And are you going to live it when things ain't going good? Because that's the thing about football. In our world today, I mean, I can get on this soapbox, we'll be here forever, but mean, it's a soft world. It just, what's hard? What's difficult for kids? I mean, we make everything easy for them. Well, football ain't changed in that you still got to block, you got to tackle, and you're going to get knocked down, you got to get back up. And, you know, I do believe toughness is a choice, and it's not just your physical toughness, but it's mental toughness and emotional and spiritual and the whole deal. And we try to train all of that. We really do.
And you can see what he's saying here, that Coach Atree, Coach Bryant, Coach Dye, Coach Wallace, Coach Gross.
That segues exactly what my next question to you is going to be, Coach. It's got to be fulfilling when you look across North Alabama and you see a lot of these young coaches who are doing things the right way, making an impact on a whole nother town. And when you talk to them, more people than you know mention, I had the opportunity to coach under Coach Cody Gross. And when you hear that, we were excited about coming today. Because how many people have we talked to over the last few weeks that talk about Coach Gross at Athens High School?
100%.
Worked with him at Lauderdale County, worked with him, and they just go on and they use some of the same standards that you taught them. And you think about the impact you made on them, now they're in a totally different town, paying it forward.
Well, thank you for saying that. And it means the world to me. You know, as you're saying that, those names pop up. And there's been 11 guys who've worked for me that became head coaches. And that's like,
dude, that's cool.
I love that. And the spring, I was able to go to the spring game between West Morgan and Ardmore. And there's Drew Phillips and Jonathan Snyder. And they've got assistants that were on my staff and played for me. And there's 8 or 9 guys on the sidelines that had worked with me. And it's cool. And then they give me too much credit. But we just take from other people. You know, and eventually, you know, you put your own spin on it when you become a head coach. But who are you around? Who has influenced you? Who has poured into you? And I had many pour into me, so I want to pour into others. And then to see it grow, you know, and as you're saying that, it made me think. Somebody shared something with me, and I don't remember what it was on, but it was basically, it may have been from a devotion, but it was from Chan Gailey. And Chan Gailey talking about the impact a coach has for generations or whatever. I got thinking, well, Chan Gailey was head coach of Troy in 1984. Willie Slater was his assistant. He was my position coach and coordinator at UNA. Steve Campbell played for him. Rick Rhodes was the coach in 87 at Troy and had been under Chan Gailey. Campbell played for him. Slater was with him. Go through it, and it's like, okay, I work for them. I'm connected to all these guys.
Yeah.
And you think about Chan Gailey, head coach of Dallas Cowboys, and been all these different places. Rick Rhodes has been everywhere, and all those different ones. Although I never met Chan Gailey, but Chan Gailey has a piece in my coaching philosophy and the way I do things because of the people that he impacted, who then impacted me. And then, you know, that's the cool thing. One of the many cool things about this world is just I've been blessed to cross paths with so many people. We all do. And I think we can choose to take from all of them. And we take good and bad. And, you know, you as a head coach, you start realizing sometimes why that guy, as a head coach, did something that he did. You're like, man, I won't ever do that.
Yes, sir.
And then you get it. It's like, well, okay, maybe I get it. And then there's some you ain't going to do. But I just think about all those that impacted me. And I don't even need to start naming names, but Ronnie Ritter was my head coach in high school, and I worked under him. His first one I worked under, it was huge. Obviously, Coach Wallace, but so many others that poured into me, and even assistants that I worked with. You know, it didn't have to be the head coach, but just somebody that you're around. And I hope I want to make an impact, and I want our coaches to continue to make impacts. But it does, getting back to your thing, seeing them take it to another community, another school, and do it, it's been really cool. So when I come in from games, I'm like, hey, how'd West Morgan do? How'd Ardmore do? How'd Priceville do? Seth Parker's over there. He was with us. How'd Clements do? You know, those are four I got that's locally doing it right now. It's almost like I'm a granddaddy now, but it's almost like I'm old proud papa seeing it happen.
I do the radio. I don't know if you know this, but I do the radio for Priceville.
Okay.
On Friday nights. And, dude, I'm telling you, I have fallen in love with Coach Parker. His wife, his
A bunch of kids, too.
He talks, yeah, that's right. He talks a lot of good things about you, and it's been fun to watch. And we say it just about every week that the dots, how they all connect.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches' community is really
small. It's a small world. It's so small. But so man, small.
It makes me feel good as a father that this next generation are being led by really good men.
I think so. I think there are a lot of them out there. I really do. I was able to spend some time this weekend at a clinic in Birmingham, the Next Gen Clinic, and it was for the next generation of head coaches. A former player of mine put it together, David Lundberg. He's an assistant at Vestavia Hills, coached him at UNA, but he put it together. It's a free clinic. Nobody got paid to go be a mentor, which me and Drew Phillips were mentors. Nobody paid to go to the clinic, but it was just coaches pouring into other coaches and talking about things and trying to better our game. You know, one thing I always talk to our players about, like a lot of memories from my granddaddy Gross, I've had one job in my life besides teaching and coaching, that's working construction with my granddaddy. He did stucco and plaster, and he worked till he's 82. Toughest man, you know, him and Sam Graham, toughest dudes I've ever known in my life, and he worked through a heart attack. Finished a job. He's just unbelievable. But the first time I was working, when I was 12 years old and was doing a patch job over in Sheffield, and we finished up. And he said, "All right, you need to clean up. I'm going to go around and get paid, and I'll come back. We'll be ready to go." Of course, I'm 12. I've never done it before, and I'm lazy. So I did a bad job. You know, yeah. And I didn't get it cleaned up. So he did what a good leader would do. He did it with me, showed me how to do it. We get it done. We load it up. I'm getting in the car ready to leave. He goes, "Where are you going?" I said, "We're done." He goes, "Look over here." And there was a Pepsi can and what he called a Nabs wrapper. You know, Nabisco crackers. Crackers, he called them Nabs. That's what we have during our break. He said, "There's a Pepsi can. There's this. There's trash. But there's a construction site." I mean, y'all know what those are like.
Yeah, sure.
Crap everywhere. And I was like, "That was here when we got here." He said, "I don't care. We're going to leave it better than we found it." And I've taken that as a 12-year-old boy working construction with my granddaddy that didn't graduate high school. And I've been able to share with kids and coaches, and now they've taken the communities, leave it better than you found it. That's part of our facilities here. I want to leave it better than we found it. I want to leave our program better than we found it. I want to leave, as a player, you leave your jersey in a better place than you found it. There's tradition here, but is it going to be, are we going to build on it, and are we going to make it better for the guy that comes behind us? And I think anything we do in life, that's kind of our job, is whatever our role is, leave it better than you found it. And for our assistant coaches, leave your position players better than you found them. Like, when are they going to be better players? They better be. Assistants are the key to this thing. It ain't the head coach. Develop them to the fullest of their potential. But more importantly, are they going to be better people because you had an impact on them? And when you're done with them, are they better? So leaving it better than you found it, I think, really matters. And that's one of the things we talk about around here.
I'm gonna steal that, Coach. Leave it better than you found it.
And J.C. Gross, again, never coached and did what people would say is a...
So your dad wasn't a coach?
No, he wasn't. No, He sold insurance and then was a Little Debbie man. So I had a Little Debbie truck sitting in my yard. I used to eat Little Debbie's for breakfast.
Man, yeah.
So it was...
I'm jealous.
Yeah, yeah. But granddaddy, I learned toughness. I learned work ethic so much from being with him every time. I worked with him if we wasn't in school. From that time on, if we had a day out, I was working with him.
Yeah.
And I just learned so much from him. And I think about the impact that man had on me, and I've been able to do it with other people. So it's not just coaches. You know, it's my grandmother Camp that I stayed with all day, and I'd go and see her studying her Bible and praying with people and going and serving people and helping the neighbors and those kind of things. All those things just, I don't know, I think we're the sum of the people we were around.
Yeah.
And it ain't just coaches.
They were
intangibles.
They were leaving it better than they found it.
Exactly.
Wow. That is strong. Coach, you shared about when my son was playing youth ball. You came over and spoke to the youth league one night at Brooks, and you told the story, and I can't remember the coach, but you said the coach wouldn't let y'all hit each other all week, and then by the time Friday night got there, you were just, whoa, tell us that story.
Well, Coach Ritter was that way. Well, it actually wasn't not with the team I played on. He did it right after that. The Coach Ritter, when I played, we beat the crap out of each other every day. And but he had a group that it was the 95 team at Lauderdale County, and he only had like 20. My senior year at Lauderdale County, we had 27 players, and we went to the semifinals. That team, I think, had 24 or so and went to the semis. And you couldn't get anything out of a scout team. One, you couldn't line up a full team, really. And then they wouldn't get any kind of look. So they loved to hit, and they were so physical that he was just like, we're going to walk through everything. And it just made them mad. Made them mad all week because they couldn't get any. And then on Friday night, they came in there, and they were just like ravenous wolves going at it. And, yeah, you can do that if you got guys that will go hit. You know, if you got a dog that won't hunt, you better be going out there and doing it every day.
Yeah, I mean, you just hold him back. Just holding him back. And then all of a sudden, boom, let go.
That's right. That's right. Wow.
You know, Coach, you mentioned earlier about the other coaches that you've had an impact on. Want to follow that up because, you know, Coach Snyder speaks so highly of you. Coach Phillips. I mean, all these great coaches that are doing their own thing now. So if you had a young kid, you may not even know him. He just comes to you and he says, hey, Coach, I'm thinking about doing this as a living. I want to be a head football coach in high school. What would be some advice you'd give that young man?
Well, I've had it, and I get it a lot. I've got a guy now that emailed me over a year ago, said, hey, I want to coach. I'm at college. I'd like to volunteer. And he's been doing it for a year and a half with us, and he came the next day we met and then put him to work. But I would encourage him to get involved with somebody away from their town. That's what I would do. You know, I told you I grew up, I wanted to be at Lauderdale County. That's where I played. And I did want to be there. And I still love that place. And then I went to UNA, and I was working under Willie Slater and David Martin and those guys I'd been with. It was the same philosophy, the same system. And it was great. But I was looking at it going, man, if you ain't in the eye running the belly option, load option, inside veer, you're an idiot. Because we were successful, we're winning championships, and this is the way to do it. And there's a bunch of ways to do it. And I would have never known had I not left UNA and went to Delta State and was with Steve Campbell. And again, some of the same people, but he'd been around other people. Be able to work with him and Rick Rhodes, come to Athens, work for Alan Creasy, and is exposing myself to other things. Because a lot of times we get in one little area and that's all we know. And you don't know what you don't know. So I would encourage somebody, you know, if you're wanting to get into it, not necessarily volunteer at your school, volunteer somewhere else. And we'll take you here. If anybody wants to come do it, we'll take you. But I think that's important. But the other thing would be just don't worry about the hours. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about any of that. It's about kids. And it's what it's about. People ask me a lot, when am I going to retire? I mean, I think, golly, there's that old thing again. I'm like, am I that old? And a lot of folks thought I was going to retire this past year because my youngest son was finishing. And I think people think, well, your youngest son's done, you're done. But I was coaching before they were born. So, I mean, I don't coach because of my kids. But I've told our coaches two things will get me out of it. One is if you don't get support from the administration. And the second thing, and that's not the case, the second thing will be when I wake up and I ain't fired up to go make a difference in kids' life. And when I wake up and I ain't ready to go make a difference, I'm fixing to get out. Wow. Because I don't want to cheat kids. I tell our coaches this all the time. It'll be my 30th year coaching and counting Little League and high school, college. I played for 13 years, so it'll be my 43rd year in football. But these kids get one chance. And typically it's 4 years. And that's all they're going to get. And they deserve our best every day. And if we ain't going to do it, we need to get out.
Amen.
Young man, you're married, you got a couple little kids and they ain't sleeping. Hate it for you. But when we got 6:30 workouts, you better be here ready to go.
That's good stuff.
Shoot. Coach, I'm ready. Where's the weight room again? I'm ready to go in there and give it all I got. It's just really cool, Tracy, just to see the full circle. You know, he talks about Bryant, Pat and I, Coach Bobby Wallace, which, by the way, what was Bobby Wallace like to be around?
Man. Well, he's different. Like, it's really hard to describe. But Coach Wallace, I guess the bottom line is this. He truly, truly, truly cares about people.
Yeah.
It's not lip service. It's not like, but he really cares about people. Yeah. And the players know it. So, you know, when I was playing, I remember looking around in practice sometimes. I'd look over there and Coach Wallace ain't doing nothing. He's just standing there. And then he might be on a knee, and he's standing up talking to Mims Rogers. He'd come to practice every week, and it's like, man, that guy's got it made. He don't do nothing. And on the sideline, my first game at UNA as a freshman, I'm the backup quarterback. I played the third series, but I'm over on the sideline and just got out of high school, scared to death. And we signal in a play, and Coach Wallace looks at me and says, what is it? And I thought, well, he's quizzing me. And I said, it's 46. And he nodded, and they broke the huddle. And he said, what's 46? I said, it's a sweep. And I was thinking, he's still quizzing.
He's messing with me.
And then they got the line. He said, which way is it going? And I was like, we were splitting tight side linemen, and even numbers were tied in, odd numbers to the split side. And I was like, it's going to the tight end. I was like, it only goes one. And in mind, I'm going, it only goes one way. And I went, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm coming to a place our coach don't even know what in the crap we're doing. And he wasn't kidding. He wasn't testing me. Like, he didn't know.
Really?
Yeah. Now, he knew we ran the sweep, but he didn't know. He hired an offensive coordinator, and yeah, he trusted him to do his job.
Yeah.
But I saw different things through my time there, and I was like, man, I don't know how this works, but, man, we love him. We'll run through a wall for him. But what he would do at practice, before practice started, he'd come by and he'd shake your hand. Hey, how you doing? How's your mama doing? How's your daddy doing? And he wouldn't, like, you know how people, how's it going? Nobody cares. You know, you say, yeah, how's it going? Nobody really cares.
Yeah.
But he cared. And he, you know, if something had gone on in your family, he'd go, you know, how's your mama? How's she recovering from surgery? Or, I mean, he knew what was going on in our players' lives, and he talked to you that way. And he really, truly cared, and we knew it. So fast forward to 2012, he hired me, the offensive coordinator. I was head coach at Wilson at the time, and, I mean, I was living in Florence, and I thought, honestly, I thought Wilson was my last job. I'd moved around. I was like, all right, my kids are about to be in junior high. I'm just going to stay right here. Good town. Be, yeah, a good place. We'll work hard. It's a hard work community. Anyway, Coach Wallace, Bowden leaves. Coach Wallace gets a job and calls me. And I was like, couldn't believe. He left a voicemail off and said, I want to talk to you about being the offensive coordinator. And I was like, man, I would have never dreamed that. And so he did. And I was able to go back with him. And then I started seeing the other side of it. Still there he is at practice. Did he know what we called everything? No. But he knew everything that went on that practice field. After our first practice that spring, the next staff meeting, I figured out he saw everything. He's like, hey, period five, this is going on. What's going on? Why are we doing this? And then he would come in and say, what do you think about doing this? So we really coached the coaches and let the coaches coach the players. So I saw it from the other side. But he gave you a lot of freedom. And it gave, put pressure on me. I was the offense coordinator, and he didn't tell me what to run. He didn't tell me what to do. He didn't know what we were doing sometimes necessarily.
Yeah.
But he knew he did know. He didn't know what it was called.
Yeah.
But he allowed me to do it. And what did that do? Made me want to work hard. I want to work hard for this guy. But he, again, it boiled down to he cared about people. That's the bottom line.
How big of a difference is it from high school to that next level?
Playing, coaching, all of it.
Yeah.
Well, playing, it's just the speed of the game. You know, that's the difference. That's every level. You know, yeah, if you watch a middle school game, you watch a seventh grade game, and then you watch an eighth grade game. The eighth grade game's so much faster than the seventh, and it still ain't fast.
Yeah.
But it's so much faster. Monday nights here, you're going to have a freshman game, and then it honestly, a lot of times it looks like, are we walking? I mean, it's like slow motion. And then here comes the JV game, and it's like, ooh, man, that was fast.
Yeah.
But it ain't nothing like Friday night.
Yeah.
But then you go from high school to college, and then, man, the speed's so much better. You go from, I would imagine, don't know the experience, you go from college to the pros, yeah, it's going to be the speed. And I think that's every sport.
Yeah.
Josh Willingham told me that. He was my neighbor, and we lived in Florence, you know, played in the majors so long. And one day he was standing outside, and he's like, he said, you would hit the fastball. You could hit a fastball in a major license, but you're full of it. There ain't no way I'd hit a fastball. I mean, I think I was a pretty good baseball player, but he goes, no. He said, in about a month, you'd hit it. He said, now I got all the other stuff you'd have to hit. He said, but the first time you saw it, you wouldn't see it. But then you saw it enough. He said, you know, you would have been able to do that. And he said, think about it. In basketball, what was it like? In every level. So I think it's the speed of the game is the biggest thing. Coaching-wise, it's not different. Now, it is now, transfer portal, NIL, all that bull crap.
Yeah.
No, so don't even talk about that.
Yeah.
But for us, I mean, coaching's coaching. I think the toughest coaching is the lower level, middle school. You got to teach them. I mean, they don't know how to put on a helmet. They don't know how to, you know, how's my girdle go on? You know, all that stuff. And I think that's the toughest. But, you know, coaching is coaching, and kids want to be coached. Kids honestly want discipline. They really do. But they won't know you care first. But I just think coaching's coaching. But I love this level because I think you get them at a younger age, more impressionable age, and I think you can have a little bigger influence on them.
Coach, you talked about it earlier about, you know, you still have that hometown, small-town vibe here in Athens. You got the square. You've got so many things that's community-focused. And it really doesn't matter if you're 5A, 6A, 7A. That's irrelevant. What is it about Athens, in your opinion, that makes it such a special place to call home?
Well, I think, again, to go back to some of those things we talked about, I keep talking about the square. But that's just your old typical southern square, courthouse in the middle. I think that's a special thing. I think it's the people. You still have these deep-rooted Athens people. So I think that makes it special. But I think, you know, anywhere you're at, I think you just invest yourself. You know, you bloom where you planted. And sometimes, you know, we've, unfortunately, as coaching family, we've moved probably – you think too much. There's times, man, we move around, we ever gonna land anywhere. But I was an assistant here for 4 years, history teacher, government economics, all that, coached girls basketball and track, and came back. So, you know, I'm going on year 14 here out of 30 years. So this is really, I say this, in Florence are the places I've spent the most time. You know, again, it just boils down to people, and I think that's what it is.
One thing I do know is tough people win.
100%.
And Coach, sitting across from you, walking through your facility with you, talking to you on the phone several times last year, getting to know you more and more as the years go on, you seem tough people.
Well, I hope so.
You put that out there.
Well, I appreciate that.
I picked that up from you.
I hope it is. I mean, I'm don't ask my wife. I get a little runny nose, and I'm not the toughest guy.
Yeah.
But I do believe toughness is a choice, and I tell our players that because, look, I came from Anderson. I told you I came from a little junior high school and didn't play football in eighth or ninth grade, and I went to Lauderdale County. I'm 125 pounds going in there to do spring training back when it was Bull in the Ring and you name it, against some men, and they tried to kill me. It was like, hey, he's coming from Anderson. He's supposed to be a pretty good little athlete. We're going to check his oil. You know, that was the old saying.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm getting tattooed at 125 pounds. It's like, man, I don't know about this. And I can remember at times going, man, I don't want to do this. Man, that hurts. And it's like, And then finally I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And then I'd hear coaches talk about players, and I'd hear them talk about somebody being tough. And I go, they're going to talk about me like that. And the story I always heard, and you know, I heard Walter Payton say it, if you get knocked down, you get up fast. You get up before the other guy. Get up before the guy that hit you. And he's thinking, man, I just gave him my best shot.
And
it didn't even
pop.
It didn't even faze him. I might as well just get him down all day. So that's what I did. I just said, man, I'm going to get up before they do. I'm going to get up so fast. I talked to you about our shirts and stuff, the guys writing on the shirt. And that's what I wanted to be known as. Is if I would have picked it, I'd have said tough. That's one of the things I would want to be known as. But there was a day that I know I wasn't, and I had to choose it. And I had talked to my Brogan, our youngest son, about that when he was younger, when he started playing. It's like, hey, man, you got to choose to be tough. Like, it ain't easy. What we do in football ain't natural. It ain't natural to run full speed into somebody. Now, there's a few people that I think do come out of the womb ready to go do it, but there ain't many.
Yeah.
It's not natural.
Yeah, we want to be coddled.
Yes.
Yeah. We want to beat hell, yeah.
And it hurts, man. So, but, man, let's go do it. And then the feeling you get when you get back up.
Coach, today one of the first things that you did, you showed us your outstanding locker room. And there was a T-shirt hanging in there. Can you tell us about that, or is that something that just stays in the locker room?
No, I can tell you about it. So, again, we do have a great locker room, so I wanted to give you the Cliff Notes. I can talk about it a long time. But we don't want our kids to feel entitled. You know, it's an entitled world, and we have nice stuff, and we give them nice stuff. But we want them to earn it. We want them to appreciate it, not be handed it. So we got the great locker room. Didn't allow anybody to move in. They had to earn their way in. It took about a month for the first one to earn it. And at that point, I started washing their stuff like I've always done. But prior to that, I made them wash their own stuff and bring it every day, dress in a dining hall with just a room. No lockers, no chairs. Dress, get your stuff, and get out. And then I started washing it. Gave them black shorts and gave them a question mark shirt, a gray shirt with a question mark on it. And I've done that question mark shirt for a long time in our off season. The question mark I tell them is twofold. One is, we don't know anything about you individually. So you may have been All-State last year. You may have been kicked off the team last year. It really don't matter. It's a new year. So we're going to be answering questions about you. We don't know anything about you. We're going to be answering questions about you every day leading up to, you know, until you're out of here. Now, it's easy to say, but it's hard. Human nature says, I'm going to hold something against a guy, or I'm going to do this. So if we're going to truly say we don't know nothing about you, then this kid had a bad attitude. We as coaches have to check that and go, all right, I'm giving it a fresh start. Now, again, that's easy to say, but you got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, but so one, we don't know about you individually. Two, we don't know anything about us collectively as a team. Last year, we went 8-3. 2 years in a row, we've gone 8-3, got put out in the first round. I mean, 8-3, that's better than 3-8. But are we 8-3? We 3-8. We state title. We 0-10. Don't matter, because it's a new team. It's a new year. And every day, we're going to answer questions about what this team is. So that's the question mark. On the back of it, take a Sharpie. And used to, we'd write their name with a Sharpie, and then under it, we'd put S, a B, and a PC. And we'd put their squat max, their bench max, and their power clean max. And when they got a new one, we'd call them up in the weight room, we'd mark it out, write the new one down, call, and everybody's going crazy. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Plus, as they're lifting, we can see, you ain't got the right weight on there. Man, that's your max. You're supposed to be 270%. That ain't right. So that kind of helped. But this time I decided that what we would do is we would put three words that you want to be known for as a football player by your teammates. When you're an old man, what are your teammates going to say about you? And, you know, is it hard working? You know, if it is and you're skipping reps, you ain't working very hard. You know, so we're going to hold you accountable. It's kind of a walking billboard. And you can see that shirt every day, and your teammates can see that shirt. And I think that's been good because it's made our players think about it. So as guys would get moved in the locker room early, I would say, all right, I want you to think about the three words you want on your shirt, what you want to be known for, and text them to me tonight. And then tomorrow I'll write them on there. As I started doing that, I mean, immediately they were like, I already know them. It wasn't like, well, let me think about it. And so many of them said, Coach, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it. It's all I've been thinking about. And I thought, well, crap, that's pretty cool because they're thinking about this. So that's what we did this year, always trying to find ways to motivate these guys. And because all season's hard, all season's long. And it wasn't when I played. I went from football to basketball to baseball. And we showed up like the first week of August and said, hey, let's play some football again. And now it is tough all year. And it's a long way looking ahead. Like, how are we going to get there? So trying to give them things to.
But I love the visual accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, if the back of my shirt says on time, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I walk in late 2 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll probably be running red lights trying to do everything I can to get here on time because, man, my shirt says I'm on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But it may say tough. It may say encourager. And if I'm over and downing somebody, you know, I got to remember that my shirt says I'm an encourager.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I've told those players, you call them on it.
Yeah.
You see it says on their shirt and they ain't doing it. You call them on it.
Dude, I love it. Man, I love it. I took a picture when we were in that locker room. I took a picture of the locker that's got Jackie Ferguson's in it. And, you know, Brad Black, who was the head coach at Brooks, his dad's my brother, RB.
Okay.
And, of course, RB's a walking encyclopedia. I mean, you just ask him anything about high school athletics. So I text him that picture. Him and Jackie's real good buddies. And this is what he says back. 27-24-1 record while head coach at Athens. Left Athens to go to Hazelwood, won 3 state championships in 5 years.
there was a head coach at West Morgan at one time, and I was fortunate to – he was my linebacker coach in 2008 at Colbert County. Wow. I had Bill Hyde as my defensive coordinator. Unbelievable. Jackie Ferguson's coaching linebackers, and Jimmy Lockett's coaching defensive line. And I was coaching the secondary as the head coach. So I'm sitting there at that point. I was let's see, in 2008, I was 33, turning 34. They had all been coaching longer than I'd been breathing.
Wow.
And that's what I told them one day. I said, I'm the head coach, and all you guys have been.
You're legends.
And, yes. And I used to have to talk myself. I had to give myself a pep talk in one game against Hamilton, quarterfinals of the playoffs in 08. Coach Hines, our D.C., and Coach Hines basically invented defense for those that don't know. Like, he really did. Like, the things that he did, Tennessee was doing in the late 90s, and Coach Hines had been doing it in the 80s. And it was just like everybody knew Bill Hyde. He was unbelievable. And I get him for free for 3 years to be my defensive coordinator. It's unbelievable. But we're going in, and our check to empty was what he called thumper. And we were playing man free, and they were matching their best receiver up on our worst outside linebacker, and they were moving the ball down the field. And I'm the secondary coach, and I went to Coach Hyde, and I said, hey, we got to check out of that. We didn't even get in cover two. Coach Hyde's the nicest guy in the world, and passed away a few years ago. Most godly man, but he was intense. And he would go, every time I call it, they're checking us out of it. Every time I call it, they're checking us out of it. And they'd do it again. And I'd go, Coach, we got to get out of that. And he'd, every time I call it, they're checking us out of it. And we get to halftime 14-all. And I'm going in at halftime. I'm going, you're the head coach. You're the head coach. Tell him what to do. You're the head coach. Tell him what to do. But that's like, I don't know nothing about defense. And I'm fixing to tell the guy that invented it what to do. So I did. I went in and told him. He didn't like it. When he looked at me like he wanted to kill me, he did not like it. But he's an assistant and a good one. And what'd he do? He went in the locker room, went over adjustments for the defense, said, I don't care what they get, give us, we're doing this. And we wound up shutting them out the second half, beat them like 56-14, and rode off. And I'm walking him out the gate that night after the game because I didn't give him any off-the-field duties. He's an older guy. I wasn't paying him nothing. Yeah. You know, we'll clean the place up. You just stop him. And I'm walking out the gate with him, and he goes, I wouldn't give you a nickel for our chances the second half. And I said, well, I'm glad it worked. And but anyway, just coach, you know, I was forced in my first head job to have a Jimmy Lockett, to have a Jackie Ferguson, to have a Bill Hyde that were older and experienced and could pour into me. You know, and Coach Lockett, I don't know if you know Jimmy Lockett, but what a great coach, what a great man. And he'd been retired for a while and was still coaching. And we had one of them days where things were bad and things had happened at school with kids and different things. And I was just like at wit's end. And he said, it's just another day, man. You know, and I wanted to slap him, you know, but he was right. And he was grounding, and it was just advice that those guys gave me and poured into me. I'm the head coach, and you've got assistant coaches that are pouring into a head coach. Wow. And it's just pretty special. All those guys were retired.
Yeah.
All those guys were retired, and they were helping me.
Man.
But why did they do it? They weren't helping me. They were doing it for kids.
It's an incredible story. That's like one incredible. Day. One day, let's just say this. I don't know. I'm making something up. But there's going to be a young Coach Gross, maybe Brogan, maybe whoever. I foresee Coach Cody Gross walking up going, hey, man, you need some help?
Well, I'll tell you. Well, I'll be honest. Honestly, that's my goal.
Yeah.
That is my goal.
And then one day, somebody like me and Tracy are going to be interviewing this guy, and he's going to say, hey, everybody around here has heard of Coach Cody Gross. You know he comes and helps me out every morning.
Well, hey, let's go back to this one. My first time I ever coached, first coaching ever, one spring while I was in college at UNA, I helped at Lardell County, my alma mater, with Coach Ritter, and I helped at West Morgan. Okay, Dwight Lawler was the head coach at West Morgan at that time, and both of them, Coach Ritter and Coach Lawler, had been with Steve Rivers,
yep.
As had Alan Creasy. Okay, so I guess Coach Ritter and Coach Lawler were big buddies, and they were going to put in the belly-and-belly option at West Morgan, and he asked me to come help with spring training. So, man, I'm fired up. Get to go help with spring training. West Morgan is really good. But you know who the coaching running backs at West Morgan? Tom Calvin. Yeah, Coach Tom Calvin's coaching Coach running Calvin. Backs. Tell me like, hey, Coach, this is what we're going to do. Absolute legend.
Yeah.
He's from Athens. Played in Alabama, played with Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
You know, coached Coach Rivers. He was his coach.
Yeah.
But Tom Calvin, I got to work with Tom Calvin. Yeah. I mean, it's like unbelievable. That was right off the bat. Dwight Lawler was a great coach.
Yeah.
And I only spent, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, with him in spring ball, but Pierre Coggins was there and Bill Hopkins and, you know, just some really good coaches and good men that I got to get something out of when I was 19, 20 years old.
Unbelievable.
God, I think Calvin's the one Coach Bazin told the story about, right?
Yeah,
make him drive 55 down the interstate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And Coach Calvin, we want to know everybody's name and just, you know, that's another one. I mean, I can go on and on with these men that I've been around and that have impacted me. But Tom Calvin, that's a legend.
Yeah, we heard a story that they were on the interstate in the middle of the night, like after a game they drove like Birmingham or something. I don't remember the story, but Tom told him to pull over. And he had something in his mind, had him pull out a sheet of paper and was putting together plays.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, and that was the night that he learned whatever play that he still uses today.
Well, there you go. Well, and getting back to what you said, though, I do see myself eventually. My wife says I'll coach till I die. I don't do anything at the house, and I don't have any hobbies, and I love what I'm doing. But there'll be a day when I'm tired of the head coach stuff.
Sure, sure.
And when that does happen, I've actually told Drew Phillips and Snyder, hey, man, I'll come coach at junior high.
Yeah.
I mean, like, where do you need me?
Yeah.
Let me come help somebody that either I coached or coached under me. Seriously, that's something I really want to be able to do.
That's cool. You know whose ear I'll be in. Yeah, how about that?
I think that's a long way down the road.
Yeah, I know.
It's a long way down the road.
I know.
But I think it's coming.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, Coach, prior to you, the 1970, that six, when they built that stadium, they looked way long away. And here you are sitting in a building that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
45 years ago.
And I get to sit in here with him.
Yeah, that's cool, too.
I mean, seriously, sitting with Larry McCoy, Garner Ezell, that coached here for 10 years, still works in the central office. He's been in education 45 years. He's still here. Alan Creasy's here, helped me a couple of years ago, coached linebackers. And so, I mean, coaches, that's one thing about Athens, is people that coached here, they care about it. They want the next coach to do well. I think a lot of places, they don't want the next coach to do well.
Yep,
you know, we all got an ego and we got pride. But these guys, they pour into this place. That's something special about it.
Well, Coach, I'm going to tell you that on behalf of First and Soul, we want to say thank you.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you for how you represent the game that we love, high school athletics. Thank you for the impact that you make on a daily basis, yearly basis, and the lives that you helped change. I'll say thank you.
It's amazing. And an honor to be able to sit here and talk, you know, with Coach Gross and his background, his legacy. It is a tremendous honor. Coach, next thing that we have coming up, July 21st and 22nd, is our high school football media days. You came last year. Looking forward to seeing you guys over there this year. Josh will be sending you the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
How did you enjoy that last year? What did you think about the media days?
It's great. I appreciate y'all doing that. It's really good for our kids.
Yeah.
Because it gives them kind of a big-time feel.
That's right. An experience.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of our job as coaches. I think one of our big jobs as coaches is to create moments for our players and things that they're going to remember. And I think that's one of those things, you know, they get to see it on TV, but now they get to be that guy. Get to sit up there and answer those questions. And it's good, too, for me riding over there. We were in the van riding together and getting to hear them talk because I don't get to do that very often. And,
yeah.
I think a couple of times they forgot I was in there, and that's a good thing, you know. That's a good thing because I've actually learned something about those guys there. You know,
hey, riding on a road trip, you learn a lot about people.
You do, you do. But no, it was a first class event, and I really am thankful for what y'all do to promote high school football. I mean, I'm not trying to be overdramatic, but I think we're one of the last hopes we got in this country.
Yeah.
I really do.
Amen.
And you guys promoting it is really big. And I know it ain't easy. I mean, you could be out there doing a lot of – well, I know you're still trying to sell houses.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But this is –
this is a passion. It's what we love.
Well, I can tell. Yeah. I can tell. You're talking about me. I mean, I can tell with you guys.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it because without that, I mean, this game will, I mean, without all this together, there's so many things come together to make Friday night special. But without different pieces of it, it'll fall apart and it won't be what it is. And this is something that a few years ago, was anybody worried about doing this? No, you didn't do this. Yeah. But you're promoting the game. Yeah. And the game does need promoting because there's so many negative things being said about it and about young people. And that's a crock. Young people, they ain't changed a bit.
That's right.
Young people ain't changed. Adults have changed, but young people hadn't changed.
Society's changed.
Yes. So y'all promoting this, I can't thank you enough because, you know, we want to leave this game better than we found it.
Yeah, there and, it is again.
You know, and you guys are helping. I really do think y'all are helping do that. So for all coaches and players, I thank y'all.
Man, I appreciate that, Coach.
Yeah. I'm going to name this episode, Leave It Better Than You Found It.
That's right.
Give J.C. Gross credit.
Yeah.
But just one of the things that, and if anybody listens to this podcast, there's been some legendary coaches brought up today. Some phenomenal experiences.
My absolutely.
Goodness. Wow.
Mm, yeah. I mean, just
shows you how everything's connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Coach, if there's anything that First and Soul, Bogoss, Tracy Black can do to help you, my phone will always be open.
Well, we'll name this coach's wing of this building after you if you'll just pay for it. On air, he just said.
We'll talk about that off air.
Hey, he's a good sell.
I like the First and Soul wing.
Yeah, First and Soul wing.
No.
The First and Soul Northern end zone.
No, but I do. I know you mean that, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Tracy, but I have been filled. My cup has been filled today.
Absolutely.
Coach, thank you so much.
Thank
you
all.
I wish you and your team and your family and everybody involved in my success.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week.